There's something really satisfying about being self-sufficient in as many ways as possible, but you don't have to be off the grid to be able to incorporate some principles of pioneering into your modern life. Georgia Pellegrini's taste for simple food and outdoor adventure has evolved as she grew up in the Hudson Valley on the same land her great-grandfather owned and worked. She followed her passion to the French Culinary Institute and to work in well-respected farm-to-table restaurants. I talked with her about her previous book, which I really enjoyed too, Girl Hunter, Revolutionizing the Way We Eat One Hunt at a Time. Today we're going to hear about her new book. It's called Modern Pioneering, More Than 150 Recipes, Projects, and Skills for a Self-Sufficient Life. And Georgia, welcome. Well, let's see. Let me get you on here first. Welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. We just finished talking with a wonderful person, and her name is Inga Wischer, and she hosts a television show called Around the Farm Table. And we were talking about one of the things she did was make some ricotta cheese and bring it today. And so we had a little ricotta cheese and some and some honey, and it was wonderful. And I, of course, immediately thought about you because you talk at one point about cheese in your book.
Absolutely, yeah. And for me, it's about giving people access to things that maybe seem daunting or inaccessible. I call it manual literacy, the idea of, you know, really showing people you really can make fresh mozzarella in 30 minutes, even though you're busy. And it can be fun and delicious.
This is such a fun book with, by the way, outstanding photography.
Thank you.
Did you take the photos?
No. I did, yeah.
You did. I'm telling you, you're a good photographer. Those are... Those are wonderful photos. And the chapters, you have chapters on the garden, the home, the wild, and all the rest of it. And in the garden section, you have a great idea for urban dwellers, guerrilla gardening, you call it.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Explain that.
So for me, I wanted to show people that there are ways to get back to the land, even if the land is a fire escape where you're growing 25 pounds of potatoes in a garbage bag or your windowsill or your back alley. Or if you have none of those things, I suggest something called guerrilla gardening where I teach people how to make seed bombs. So something like a thyme bomb, T-H-Y-M-E, which is a clay ball with dirt and seeds. And you can just do some drive-by guerrilla gardening to in abandoned lots or places in the cities in the world where things have just sort of been neglected. And so it's a way to just sort of have fun with nature and, you know, accept that maybe your thyme or your butterfly bush will get mowed down at some point. But you never know. You may go back to that abandoned lot and be able to pick an eggplant.
There you go. Oh, I love that idea. Georgia Pellegrini, our guest. You might join in with your own questions or comments. Does the idea of modern pioneering appeal to you? Is there some area of your life that you'd like to apply those concepts to? I know George is happy to help. Maybe you have some pioneering ideas of your own to share. We'd love to hear about them. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You know, we talked about Girl Hunter, your first book. It was clear that you wanted to get closer to where your food came from, how it was harvested, how it was prepared. And it seems like in this book, Modern Pioneering, you've really taken that into many more areas of life.
Yes, that's true. You know, for me, it's just about rolling up your sleeves and getting dirt under your fingernails. And I was fortunate to grow up that way. And I decided that I wanted to learn how to hunt as an extension of being a chef, to really sort of pay the full price of the meal and more have more of an interactive experience with my ingredients. But I realized that not everyone's going to go hunting in the fields of Montana or even has a desire to. So this was a way to give people a roadmap to become more manually literate, to get back in touch with some of those skills that our grandparents' generation had that, you know, even are small ways, you know, it can be as simple as, you know, preserving your own lemons or making your own bacon or or doing more with less. What some of the fun projects, or even things like upcycling your wine bottles and turning them into glassware.
I love that.
Just sort of that pioneering spirit of being more self-sufficient and doing more with what you already have.
You mentioned grandparents. You talk about your grandmothers, your two grandmothers, how they influenced you and that they opened your eyes to what it means to be a fearless girl.
Yeah, it's true. And I think there was something so wonderfully fearless about them and the women of that generation. You know, I think we have a very charmed life compared to that generation. I think they're probably the greatest generation. And they found joy and contentment in much simpler things. And I always admire that about my grandmother and my great aunt. And I just love that sense of really enjoying pure ingredients that can speak for themselves. My grandmother always encouraged me to go find purslane, which is a weed that grows in sidewalk cracks and in gardens. And she loved to eat it. It has an amazing amount of omega-3s in it. And so there's a great recipe in the book for purslane salad, sort of an ode to her. And just recognizing that there are meals right outside your back door that we have access to that we don't even know about anymore.
Yeah, and purslane, and I'll bet anything she didn't really know about the omega-3s, but she knew about the flavor. Or maybe she did know about the omega-3s.
She's actually the one who told me about the omega-3s.
Good for her. She knew more than I did. Because I'm just learning that now as I'm listening to you. I tell you, there are so many cool things to do to follow in your book, and I'm going to be doing quite a few of them, to be perfectly honest. There's one thing right on the cover of your book that I am going to use for sure this summer, and I might do it. I might do it for a party for my 10-year-old daughter. How to make a watermelon keg, which is so cool. And you said, well, of course, I won't be putting booze in it, but you could. You said booze or water, but I thought, why not 7-Up or something carbonated like that?
Or just puree the watermelon flesh with some water and have an agua fresca that pours it out of a watermelon tap. You know, the idea was just to sort of to approach food and things that you grow with a sense of whimsy and imagination. My grandmother used to have these wonderful garden parties, and this I would like to think would be my contribution, sort of this fun way to use something that we would normally throw out after we ate the fruit, but instead you can actually use the rind in an interesting way. And that's sort of what I wanted this book to be about. I didn't want it to be the kind of thing where people just put it on the coffee table and looked at it as sort of an aspirational idea, but it's something I want people to roll up their sleeves with and really get messy with and use it as a true manual.
Yeah, you've got me inspired to do some of these things, that's for sure. Let's talk about the home for a minute. What kinds of projects did you decide to include in the home section?
So there's some really fun concepts. You know, I've always had these leftover glass bottles, whether it's wine bottles or maybe glass beer bottles, and some of them are really beautiful. They have the printing. You can find the ones that have printing directly onto the glass. There's a step-by-step photo instructions on how to take your old bottles and turn them into glassware that you can actually drink out of. I used to press flowers a lot when I was a kid, and so there's actually instructions on how to make a homemade flower press or how to make your own homemade beeswax candles, how to take mason jars and turn them into lanterns and decorate your dinner table with them, how to make a wreath from vines that are just hanging from in the woods outside. There's also a lot of fun, really accessible, really inexpensive things that also make great homemade gifts. So I wanted it to be a real sort of fun, playful thing that gave people a chance to do things, even if they only had 15 minutes on the weekend.
You know, and those glass bottles, and I love the Rolling Rock. I thought, you know what, I'd just buy some Rolling Rock I'd drink it, but I'd also make the glasses out of it because it's such a cool-looking glass.
Yeah, they're beautiful, and they make a great gift. If you do 6 of them and make them in a little container.
And there's a cool story behind the how you learned about that, too.
Yeah, actually, one of my neighbors as a housewarming gift originally gave me a set. And he and I started making them together. So you'll see him and I in the book doing them together, photographed.
And I tell you what, we're going to talk about some more of those things. I know I wanted to mention that on our Facebook page, on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, you're going to find the recipe for the Gorilla Seed Bomb, and also for a chocolate mint shake, which we're going to talk about, too, with Georgia in just a little bit. We're going to take a look at the news first, though. Our guest today, Georgia Pellegrini, she grew up in the Hudson Valley, the same land her great-grandfather owned and worked. She followed her passion to the French Culinary Institute and then to work in a well-respected farm-to-table restaurant, more than one, as a matter of fact. Talked with her about her book, Girl Hunter, Revolutionizing the Way We Eat One Hunt at a Time. And today, it's Modern Pioneering, More Than 150 Recipes, Projects, and Skills for a Self-Sufficient Life. She'll be ready to answer your questions right after we take a look at the news. Please stay with us. There are a lot of reasons why we would want to live a simpler way. There are money-saving reasons, of course, and you maybe want to take care of the environment a little bit better, but there's also a really strong sense of satisfaction when you can plant or make or cook or repurpose something and then get use and enjoyment out of it. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Georgia Pellegrini's taste for simple food and outdoor adventure evolved as she grew up in the Hudson Valley. She followed her passion to the French Culinary Institute, worked in many well-respected farm-to-table restaurants. And with us today, we spoke with her previously about her book, Girl Hunter. Today we're hearing about her new book. It's called Modern Pioneering, More Than 150 Recipes, Projects, and Skills for a Self-Sufficient Life. And I hope you'll join in. Does the idea of modern pioneering appeal to you? Is there an area of your life that you'd like to apply those concepts to? I know Georgia's happy to help, and maybe you have some pioneering ideas of your own to share. And we'd love to hear about those as well. And Georgia, again, good to have you with us today. Thanks so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And, we talked just before our news break. There's something in the chapter called The Wild, but this is really a very luxurious recipe. Uh-huh. It's called Wild Mint and Dark Chocolate Milkshake.
Yeah, and it has a little spice and a little brandy. But the idea was that I wanted to show people that there are ways to step outside your door into the wild that weren't intimidating. We don't all have to be master foragers. I had a great aunt who knew the name of every single plant on our land, and it's definitely a lost art. But I just wanted to show people there are ways to find things that are in your garden. Wild mint is everywhere, and mint that's domestic is everywhere. It spreads all over the place when you plant it. So I wanted to show people fun ways that they can make beautiful, simple ingredients, also really delicious and decadent. And that's what that dark chocolate mint milkshake is about.
Oh, man, does it look good. And you've got a wonderful photo. Actually, I think we posted that up on my Facebook page as well. So a couple of really cool recipes there.
Right near the pine tree tea. Good juxtaposition.
Pine tree tea. Who was it? Yul Gibbons talked about eating. Was it pine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably so. He's the master.
He was the master, wasn't he? Dave in Minocqua has a comment. Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I love your show and your guest. I want to ask her one thing. I've gardened my whole life, and I've read a lot. And as you know, ma'am, there's a lot of genetically modified food, and therefore there's a lot of genetically modified seeds out there right now. And I wonder if you could tell me where a good source to get, you know, heirloom or what you call just natural seeds so you can grow your own garden without this background of genetically modified foods.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, my very first book, long, long ago, was called Food Heroes, and I spent time with a man named Bill Best, who has basically dedicated his life to preserving heirlooms. And he has a website called heirlooms.org, where he has spent his life collecting seeds from grandmother's refrigerators. In some cases, they're the last 10 seeds between those and extinction. And so he has a wonderful collection on his website, specifically of beans and tomatoes. But there's all kinds of really wonderful seed exchanges, especially among local communities. I'm a big proponent of sharing your heirloom seeds with other people and keeping them going in that way. But there's a lot of wonderful community websites and local seed exchanges. Heirlooms.org is a great website.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Heirlooms.org.
Okay. heirloom setter.
I got that down. Thank you, man.
And the other one, a popular one, Seed Savers Exchange in Decorah, Iowa.
That's a great one.
Yeah, that's a that's another one that is.
I'll put that down.
All right.
The back of my book has a great resource, actually, for all kinds of things in that realm. Good seed exchanges and also just different great tools and products that I think are really wonderful and old-fashioned.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. You know, I mentioned Yule Gibbons and pine, but someone already called and said, wait a minute, it was wild hickory nuts. And I, that the wild hickory nuts, that was from one of his ad, from a television ad, he would say.
Oh, really?
Wild hickory nuts. He'd say, many parts are edible. Or I swear he said something about pine trees, too, and many parts being edible.
I'm
but
sure. He had it all covered.
He definitely had it all covered. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. One of the principles that you follow is avoiding waste. And what are some easy ways to do that?
There are some really fun, small ways. For example, I think we all tend to use the lemon juice of a lemon, and we just throw out the rind. So I'm a big proponent of just peeling the rind off and throwing it in a mason jar and covering it with oil. And you have instant lemon oil after you let it sit for a few hours, which is wonderful in salad dressings or on steamed vegetables. There are just small little things like that where rather than just throwing things out, we can save them. Same with the watermelon. You know, watermelon rind. Watermelon rind pickles are wonderful. Sometimes we have wine left over in the bottom of a bottle that we didn't drink in time or that we have left over after a party. And I have recipes that are pretty fun. We have ones for red wine popsicles. I even actually suggest people put it in their bath. It's actually really good for your skin. So you add it to your bath water.
Red wine is?
Red wine bath therapy.
Oh, I didn't get to that part of the book.
You can try that one next.
I wanted to mention, before I forget, that there's an upcoming Wisconsin event that you're going to be taking part in at Kohler.
There is.
Go ahead.
So I started doing these adventure getaways for women a few years ago as an extension of my last book, Girl Hunter. Pretty much by accident, I started getting a lot of emails and inquiries from women asking how they could have this sort of outdoor experience with me, mostly because they could relate to me more. I had just started it later in life, and they were curious. And so I've been hosting these women's adventure getaways for 2.5 years now, and they've been really wonderful. Women who are interested in exploring the outdoors or interested in manual literacy, getting some dirt under their fingernails, learning new interesting skills, come with me on these trips. I host them a few times a year. I have one coming up this weekend at Kohler, at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin, which is going to be wonderful. Everything from, you know, fishing to bird hunting to clay shooting. We have cooking classes. I teach people how to actually clean an animal. And then there's the fun stuff, you know, the gift bags and the scotch tastings and the fireplaces and the s'mores. You know, we have to have the girly things too. But it's been really a pleasure to see all the different types of women that come together from around the country and sort of have this like-minded interest in just being more manually literate and learning some of those skills.
Well, is there still a chance for people to get involved in this?
I think that we do have a couple of spaces left. So if someone wants to make a last-minute trip, we would absolutely love to have them.
I have, and it's go to destinationkohler.com for information and for registration. And my wife and I have spent time at Kohler. And
it's gorgeous. It's a playground for outdoor adventure.
Oh, you got that right. You picked a really nice place. I wondered if you'd been there already.
I have. I always like to see the venue and make sure it has all the right variables to make it a really successful experience, and it really does.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's a woman-only event, right?
It is, yeah. Every once in a while I'll do a co-ed one, but I tend to really just do it for women. I think that, you know, it's great to see it's girl bonding at its finest. So we have a great time.
We have an email from Kristen in Fredonia who said, I've joined a small part of the growing trend of learning the old trades, as she puts it. I've been learning how fiber goes from sheep to spinning wool into yarn and crocheting that into a useful garment or garments. It's a great learning experience and a great new hobby.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
There's just something so satisfying about taking things from beginning to end and really just doing everything with your own hands. It's such a rare thing, especially because we're all so busy now and we're all surfing the information highway and living in these, you know, virtual realities, which is the reality of life. But just to do something that's more real and lasting and tangible is so grounding, and I think it's important as a human being where we've come from.
We have Eddie in Delafield up next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I was just referring to your Yule Gibbons. You were right, it was pine related. I remember saying, hi, I'm Yule Gibbons. Burrito a pine cone? I did. So you were close and you said pine. That stuck with me all these years.
You know what?
The legend.
Yeah, that's for sure. The pine tree, many parts are edible. I remember that comment as well. And he was on my mind. I was at a trivia contest as a fundraiser, and I think I was the only person who nailed Yule Gibbons as the as the person in the quote that they used in the trivia contest. So that was Yule Gibbons was on my mind anyway. Thanks, Eddie, for calling. Appreciate your call. What about you? If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You have a really fun project that could come in handy. And I looked at that and I thought, man, now that's nice. It's how to create a pocket-sized 48-hour survival toolkit.
Yeah, you know, there's some fun sort of survival light things in the book just to get people to think a little bit differently. And I have a thing for a 48-hour survival kit that all fits into an Altoids tin. So it's sort of mapped out in the book with illustrations for what each element is. But just to show that there's like the kind of thing you can slip in your back pocket. And it just sort of encourages people to think a little bit differently about their ability to be self-sufficient in the world.
You know, it was really I looked at that and I said, I wonder what the Altoids is for. But it's the box.
No, there's no mints. It's just the container.
As I looked through them, I thought, what's a cayenne pepper about? But there is a use for that.
Yeah, it helps clot when you've had a cut, which hopefully not too bad of a cut.
So you take the cayenne pepper and just put it right on the cut?
Yeah, exactly. As they say, always be prepared. I think that was the Boy Scouts motto, right? Girl Scouts too.
Well, I really enjoyed that page, and it's a lot of fun. Jim in Colfax, hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks again, Larry, for taking my call.
Sure.
I had talked to you a few weeks ago when you had the author on about doing maple syrup, and I said I was going to go run out and buy the book because we had talked about the walnut trees on my property.
Yes.
That I had so many. I immediately went out and bought taps, tapped the trees, and Friday night I just boiled 3 gallons down just to see how it'd do in the house. And then 2 nights ago, finished it up last night, I boiled 5 gallons down, and I got about a pint of syrup out of last night's finishing touches on 5 gallons of syrup, I should say.
Wow.
And all out of black walnuts. It was absolutely fantastic. I've shared it with 6 people so far just for pancakes. They all came over on Sunday morning to eat pancakes.
You're everyone's favorite friend.
Pioneering on how to get, you know, using what we have to live off the land and just kudos to that author. He did a wonderful job on his book, but also just to live off the land is so much fun in general, and I'm really enjoying this program.
Oh, yeah. Well, you might want to take a look at this book, too, Jim, while you're at it, because Georgia's got a lot of kind of fun things to and interesting things to do, and could be money-saving things to do, but, you know, in a lot of ways, too, it's just like different ways to look at things. Isn't that, Georgia?
Yeah, it's just about helping people realize that even though our lives have become busier and busier, there are still ways to slow down and roll up your sleeve, even if it's just making fresh butter from scratch in 15 minutes. That's a simple way you can even incorporate your kids by giving them a mason jar and having them shake the cream. or, you know, bringing some fresh mozzarella to a dinner party that you've made yourself. There's just something really wonderful and soul satisfying about that.
And the mozzarella, between the mozzarella that you have in your book and what we heard from Inga earlier about her cheese, I'm telling you, we can all become professional cheese makers here after after listening to the show today. They're really a lot of fun, really a lot of fun. And Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoy listening to this, and I will look into the book.
All right, appreciate the call. Right on the cover, along with the watermelon keg, which I am definitely there's a brewer's a store that sells brewing equipment right all dust just not too far from where we live. So I'm going to pick up a spigot from there, and I'm going to make that watermelon keg and this summer. But then you've got on the cover some he mentioned pancakes, and that's what made me think about it. Pea pancakes.
There's a lot of recipes in the book that show what you can do with the fruits of your labor. But once again, they're sort of whimsical and fun. So I even have beet marshmallows. So these pea pancakes are savory pancakes. They're wonderful if you make them small, almost coin-sized. So you have sort of a canapé or a little appetizer. Or larger, it's a wonderful meal. You can put on Greek yogurt or creme fraiche or sour cream, diced ham. I love putting fresh herbs on anything. It always will transform any dish. You can get as fancy or as simple as you want with it. I actually made them this past Friday for a group of friends that were over, and they were just swooning. And I think they're unexpected, and I think that's what's really fun about eating. And one of the things that my grandmother taught me is that it's not just the way things taste, it's the way they look, it's the visual. It's sort of an experience of all of the senses when you're having a meal. So that's sort of what I think the pea pancakes are about.
Oh, and it's wonderful. And you, and again, I mentioned earlier your photography. I'm looking at this corned beef with the hot pink sauerkraut, and my mouth is just watering as I look at this.
A macro lens really will get you in there.
Oh, my goodness. Me is that good looking. And we were just recently in Hawaii and brought back a wonderful pineapple, and I'm seeing your pineapple chips.
Oh, yeah.
And we eat a lot of pineapple at our home, and I got to try these pineapple chips.
Yeah, they're wonderful. There's a whole section on dehydrating and showing people how to preserve, whether it's preserving with fat, whether it's dehydrating, curing with salt. Just the idea of really saving all of the fruits of your labor from the summer, or even the fruits in the farmer's market, and having them, you know, all winter long.
I think we have in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin, I think we have it's considered one of the top farmers markets in the nation. It's just an enormous farmers market that goes entirely around our Capitol Square, something that I'm pretty sure you would really enjoy visiting. So I hope you're going to come to Madison sometime.
Wisconsin always has this. I'm always so impressed by just the spirit of people's approach to food there. I think it's really wonderful, and I wish every state were that way, but it's a wonderful place for food.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. And you have some, I thought, here's another one I'm going to try, which is not a recipe. Well, it's kind of a recipe. It's a recipe for how to pick a lock.
There's even how to change a tire.
And how to change it. Well, that I knew, but how to pick a lock, I did not know. So I'm actually going to try that at home, see if I can pick a lock.
Yeah, it's fun to get a little MacGyver, you know, sometimes and see what you're really made of. And that was certainly the idea, is just how far can you push yourself outside of your comfort zone? And, you know, the idea of just being a little bit more fearless in this world. I think it's a really almost addictive thing to sort of be a little more fearless and surprise yourself. And that's what my adventure getaways are about, is encouraging people to be more fearless and step outside their comfort zone. And this book is another roadmap to that. Surprise yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, Leslie, who actually called earlier, she grew up as she'd enjoy your weekend. I'm pretty sure of that at Kohler. She says she's so enjoying this show, said that going out, finding things and making your own tools and toys is so much more satisfying than just going to the store and buying it. She kind of grew up as a tomboy, and she loves that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's a Facebook comment from Daniel. If I wasn't making maple syrup or picking mushrooms or gardening, hunting, and fishing, I wouldn't know what time of the year it was.
True. It's wonderful to live by the season.
Probably. And pretty quick, the turkey season is on, is going to be here, turkey hunting, which I'm looking forward to. Probably one of our greatest challenges is making people aware of where their food comes from and what it takes to produce it, Daniel says. Thank you for sharing your experiences. My mom used to always say, go and do something.
I love that.
And Mary also commented and said, thanks so much for making pioneering popular again. I have four daughters. We're channeling my grandmother, who grew up on a farm and did everything from scratch. She worked hard and slept well. And we started with homemade bread, homemade soaps, gardening and fiber creation, and I hope to receive your book for Mother's Day.
It's a good Mother's Day gift, that's for sure. It is a good gift book. It's chock full.
it really, really is. Chock full.
You will be busy.
Yeah, it'll keep you busy for longer than a year, I'm pretty sure of that. It's such a pleasure to have a chance to talk with you, Georgia. I want to thank you so much, and I hope we have a chance to do it again. And again, your weekend, let's mention that again. Coming up, you'll be at Kohler, and talk about it again. What's it all about?
Yeah, it's at Destination Kohler. It's a women's weekend. It's a long weekend full of outdoor adventure, cooking classes, pioneer skills, good food, good scotch tasting, and good girl bonding. And I always post them. That one's at Destination Kohler, and all my future ones are at GeorgiaPellegrini.com or my Facebook page, which is just Georgia Pellegrini.
Yeah, we have links to those pages as well at my Facebook page. So, Georgia, thank you so much. It sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun this weekend in Wisconsin, and good luck with the book.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Great talking with you as well. Georgia Pellegrini is the author of Modern Pioneering, More Than 150 Recipes, Projects, and Skills for a Self-Sufficient Life. It is really a lot of fun to read, and I'm going to try some of those things. That watermelon keg is definitely on my list of things to make and try out. Oh, man, I hope you will stay with us. We have lots more in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Always fun to talk with you. Stay with us.